What's up, AfterBuzzers? We're back for Season 3, Episode 6 of The Magicians. That's right, we're back with an important question. Do you like teeth? So stick around for the answer.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong.
Are we doing this whole thing?
Let's just do it.
I learned how to get along,
and now I'm back.
There we go.
Back on the plaque. Don't look surprised that I'm still singing, because you know I have the knack. Can you believe what you see? Bet you can't believe it's me. Did you think for just one second you'd be back to look at me? I will survive. I will survive. I will survive.
Wow.
Hey, hey.
Oh, I got God.
That was a bit pitchy. A bit pitchy.
It was pitchy, dog. Incredible. Incredible. What a note to start this week on.
Yes.
Guys, you know what it is.
Yep.
We're back. The crew has been halved.
Yes.
It's fine. It's a smaller show.
It's a Valentine's Day
show. It's a Valentine's Day show. It's
gonna be, we're the single people.
Exactly, exactly. You know what? It's an intimate show. It's just us and you.
Yeah.
Just settle in. We're going to talk some magicians. We're talking season 3. We're talking episode 6. Carrie Lane, not with us. Joel Monique, not with us. They'll be back next week with, I believe we have a guest next week.
Possibly.
Possibly. We'll possibly. We'll Don't see. Hold me to that.
Yeah.
I have fibbed before. I'll fib again. But just,
we might have a little bit of a Joshua.
There you go. There you go. Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
We shall see.
We'll see. We'll see. Guys, my name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. Joined, as always.
Hello.
One of my absolute favorite people on the planet.
Oh, shucks.
You can find her on Fridays on the Unproduced Table Read.
Yes, you can. You can just find me around in life. Wolfenstein 2. Doing some body movement for Star Wars Battlefront.
What?
Some other video game I can't talk about. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adrian
this?
Snow. Have we not talked about this?
What? Well, yeah. I've seen you post mocap stuff before, but...
Yeah.
What?
I'm in Wolfenstein 2.
What?
Colossus, yeah. I came out like 3 months ago. I didn't talk about that yet. I guess because
Right? Before we get into anything, holy crap.
Yeah, check it out. You can hear me. You can interact with me. I'll help you along your quest to kill Nazis.
Incredible.
Hey.
There you go.
Aww.
That's what Valentine's Day is all about, is killing Nazis.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard.
Kill some Nazis.
Did you say your Twitter, Miss Adrian Snow? You can find her, Miss Adrian Snow.
At Miss Adrian Snow.
There you go.
Yep,
there
you
go.
Let's keep going. We're a little tired. It's just two of us.
Boy.
Bear with us.
These, I know we say it every week, but oofa doofa, y'all. These late tapes are killing us.
And we're old.
Right, right. If you're listening to this on iTunes the next morning, it's, you know.
Fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's, you know, you got all the energy. But if you are on iTunes, remember, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5 stars if you're nasty, all that good stuff. If you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment. Talk to us. We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
About the magician, about Quentin, about Penny, about Margo.
That chat open.
Let's get that chat going. Steve, our producer, Steve.
Hello, whatever.
One of my absolute, another one of my favorite humans. They all convene on this show. Weird how that happens.
Yeah. You want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
All right.
Let's get into it. We start with Julia, with Alice. They're planning on transferring the remaining magic that Julia has into Alice.
The god magic.
The god magic. Julia doesn't want it. She don't want it no more. But Alice, you know, she's thirsty for that magic.
She got that thirst.
She's got to obey her thirst.
And they can only do it with 90s toys because...
The aluminum wiring.
I didn't realize. Do they not do that anymore?
I would have had zero idea.
I don't know what kids play with anymore outside of iPads. So
right.
That's news.
If y'all aren't hanging Billy Big Mouth Bass on your walls.
Yeah. And, you know, hitting that bop it.
Of course. But we knew from Penny's adventures with Hyman that it doesn't do any good to try to push things. It does good to try to be things.
Yes.
So that's what Penny does. He is the button. He's not the fish necessarily. He's just the button that turns it on and
you
gives them
so?
That signal. I think so. I'm pretty sure he said something about being the button.
Oh, he was the button?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought he had to, because it no longer had its wiring. So I thought in order to actually get to work, he had to be the fish.
Maybe it might
maybe
be both.
Be the button.
Yeah. And so I think that gave them the signal to grab the truth key. I guess the key of truth is that what we're calling it.
Yeah, let's call that.
Let's call it that.
Yep.
They see Penny. Penny warns them, "Do not do this."
The last people he saw do this set themselves on fire.
Yep. So that's cool and neat.
And Dean Fogg knew about it,
mm-hmm.
which I was like, "Oh, okay." So I guess this was like Dean Fogg's jam.
Now that's
or
now
he ended up referencing that he created the original.
Yes,
spell.
Oh, yes, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. He came up with the original spell, and then Marina was the one that stole it from him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. That was y'all. I had a tenuous grasp on that scene. I'm not gonna lie. I watched this episode once, and I was trying to place Dean Fogg's involvement.
Yes.
In it,
I knew that they said he was involved in it. And then I kind of got like a little, I'm sorry, I was laughing really hard at Dean Fogg for talking about how he was now a blind, unemployed black man in America, and that most of his like tolerance was like 35% from castings. And
right.
I was like, yes.
Right, exactly.
I heard nothing else in that scene but that because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. So. I love, like, Dean Fogg is one of the characters that I want to know so much more about
mm-hmm.
that I want to kind of... I also love, like, drunk Dean Fogg
yeah.
as well.
I like the whole idea that him, like, his patience came from magic. And now without it, he just, like, doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
He's like, I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to say what I think.
We got some people in the chat coming up. They're brainstorming. They're spitballing some names for this new key. We'll get to that key, but you know we're spitting some stuff out. We got Tizmaw said the suicide key, which sounds pretty cool.
Nadab
Abdul Mahmoud says the dark side key. Leo Lima just the worst key.
Maybe we'll see.
I dig it. We will see.
We got four more to go.
Right, exactly.
So
we will. Yeah, the worst so far for sure, Kelio.
Yes.
But it will probably get worse before it gets better.
Yes, as always.
What else? But yeah, so in that scene with Drunk Fogg, we find out that the transfer that Julia and Alice are trying to pull off is the Voltaic transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, I only said that because it sounds kind of cool.
Star Trek reference? I was kind of like, Star Trek? No.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was
Voltaic.
That was a cool
bad.
Name. There you go. There you go. Just V's. V words. So it turns out they need an incubus to help them
they need
with
a part. A particular part
of an incubus to help them with this training.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go ahead and skip to that part. They find this hedge fund manager, this very high strung, very angry kind of Wolf of Wall Street esque hedge fund manager,
mm-hmm.
and they start just asking for his junk.
They just wanted that penis.
Just what that dick do?
Just
though?
Give me that pee pee.
What's that dick do?
And he laughs at them because it was a joke that he pulled on Dean Fogg.
25 like, years ago, that joke was in the making.
But he wasn't... He
what
wasn't,
a payoff.
Yeah, and he wasn't completely lying about it. They do need a part of him. It just wasn't that particular
other side.
Part. And the fact that... I like the whole idea that... Because an incubus is attracted to... like your force.
Right.
And you give off more of your force when you're stressed. And he's like,
yeah.
Sex, that's not the kind of force that I want. I'm going to go after that stress. And he like sniffed Julian and was like, oh my God, just give me like 3 more minutes or 3 more seconds of that and I'll take it.
Well, and it was just a feedback loop of like the more he did that, the more stressed
they probably
got.
Yeah. And he just gave her his tail.
Just takes it off.
Yeah.
I grow a new one every spring.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yuck.
Tails are, you know, I'm so happy we don't have tails, you guys.
Right.
Because we definitely could have had tails.
Unless,
okay?
Let's
be grateful to Evolution for stepping in and being like,
right.
No tails.
Unless you're Jason Alexander in Shallow Hell.
Oh, God. Or... real people who still have little tiny tails that don't function quite like that, but it does happen.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Big ups to our tail heaven after buzzers. So we've got Margot with the Stone Queen, Dina Meyer. God, I meant to look up her name. I forgot her real name, but she's the Stone Queen.
Yep.
Stone Queen. That's all you need. the Stone Queen heard about Tick, heard about his ploy to kind of shave off those bricks.
It kind of confided in Margot that she too was kind of under the thumb of the Fairy Queen.
Right. Everyone's kind of banding together, basically. Mm-hmm. No one likes this Fairy Queen. But it turns out she's got, she either has or she heard about the weapon that was forged in Stonehaven. I was murky on that part. There's a weapon that was forged in the fires of Stonehaven that could kill the Fairy Queen.
I think she's heard of it. I don't know. I'd have to go back and...
Yeah,
and
I don't think she has it yet.
I got a little fuzzy towards
that heard
part.
Of it. Tell us in the chat, y'all.
Yeah.
So, not only that, but they need Margot to consummate her marriage with Fomar.
Yeah, so she locks her in a room with this kid for, was that 3 days at Margot's
Yes, day? Yes. But Margot deals with it pretty...
gracefully,
pretty gracefully, pretty ingeniously, as she is wont to do, gives Fomar a little lesson in sex ed.
Basically, women have teeth in their vaginas.
Right, if y'all saw teeth,
if you've seen teeth, you know that could go really badly.
Thank you, Steve. Exactly. We had tricking the dragon was sure. Dragon was sexy.
Yeah, the dragon was pretty. It. We'll get there.
There was a lot of talk in this episode. We'll get to that. There was a lot of talk. A lot of people like those dragons.
Yeah, we'll get there because I have a theory about the dragons. I'm like, what's up with those dragons?
Oh, interesting. Well, okay.
Not really a theory, but a question.
Okay.
I actually saw just a quick teeth reference. Mm-hmm. The guy who plays like the half brother, step brother, slash lover type thing. If you haven't seen Teeth, then you don't know what I'm talking about. And How to Get Away with Murder. And I was like, oh my God, that guy.
There you go.
He got his penis bit off.
You never know.
You never know.
Time's a flat circle. Everyone's in everything.
Nip Tuck also. So, you know, small world.
There you go. He was in that too. Exactly. What else we got? Let's see. Elliot and the Fairy Queen. The Fairy Queen is out for new mementos.
Yeah, and she's kind of pissed off at Elliot for... basically just taking off and coming back and
no Ren, no
yeah
or
Frey.
Frey, right.
No yes. Fen, no Frey.
Fen, Frey. Got it. I got it.
Ren is Star Wars.
Late night. Y'all. Late night, y'all. Okay.
So
boy, oh boy.
He kinda has to, you know, create a story as to why he's been gone for so long and why he's come back without them.
Mm.
So and she's asking for what I forget, she was asking for the mushrooms, or no, she was asking for him to force Margot to consummate the relationship.
Yes,
with Fomar.
Right. Which we're still not entirely sure why. Right, that desperately needed to happen.
I feel like it's something that she wants to happen in order to get something that she needs out of the Stone Queen.
I see. Like, okay.
And this all kind of all ties back to their terraforming, which we'll also get to.
Sure. So, yeah. A lot of like. Real quick, before we get super deep into stuff, a lot of great emoji play in the chat. Guys, if you're not in the chat, go get in the chat.
Yeah, definitely
go
get
it. Lots of fun stuff there. We got some eggplant emojis.
Eggplant plus lip plus equals skull.
Y'all know.
Teeth, I get it.
There's a lot of awesome wordplay in this episode, and I love what the Magicians does when people don't know terms or they misunderstand things. Just these like silly little moments of just misunderstanding where... Elliot is asking the Fairy Queen if she's heard of statutory rape, and her response, Fomar isn't a statue.
Yeah.
And then also Fomar's response of, a response to Margot's talking about sex ed. Sex, who's Ed?
Like, oh, God, stupid. Yes.
It's little stuff like
just
that.
Little dumb you know puns. What?
It's one of my favorite things. Was Hale Appelman in Teeth? Are you serious, Carmen Cortez? Because that is perfect serendipity, if that's
was there
true.
There was a TV series of Teeth?
No. Wait, was it a TV series? Because Carmen Cortez says he was in the movie Teeth.
Okay.
If that's the case. TV. If that's the case.
If we
I'm
get
on
some
board.
Clarity, yeah.
That's awesome.
I didn't realize that.
Very cool. Very, very cool. What else? We're back. We're still in filler. We see Quentin as sort of the... Is he masquerading as a guard?
He is, yes. So that the fairy queen doesn't notice that she has another.
There you go.
King, basically, right. That she can control.
There you go. So it's quest time, y'all. Yeah. It's time for another quest.
And Elliot has to send him off on his own because he has to stay in and do the deed.
Right.
For the fairy queen.
Right.
Deeds of the fairy queen.
So we find out the next key is floating somewhere in the abyss, yes. In these uncharted waters of Fillory that are perpetually stuck in nighttime.
Yes.
Pretty much. It's like 30 Days a Night. If y'all saw 30 Days a Night, Josh Hartnett, 2008, not bad.
Terrifying.
Not bad. Pretty scary.
And then there's also that moment of like, when Elliot's like, and you can do that thing at the top of the bell. Oh, yeah. And Quinn's like, what thing? It's like, you know. And the next cut is just like, I'm
Quinn
standing.
Was so happy.
I really wanted him to have his arms out.
That's what I thought. Eventually, by the end of the episode, I thought we were going to see that with him, yep. and Benedict. But let's see. Oh, so let's see. As they're on the Munt Jack in the middle of the abyss, they hear cries for help. Mm-hmm. They rescue a stranger that is lost at sea. We are introduced to Poppy Klein,
aka ageless Felicia Day.
Still not even a minute.
Less.
Like, oh my God. It's been, can you believe, little tangent. Can you believe it's been a decade?
Since Eureka?
No. Well, since Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. That was my first introduction to Felicia Day.
My first introduction was Eureka.
Was that prior?
Yes.
Okay.
She got. I think she came in like season two, season three.
I see. Okay.
And was there until like the end, season mm-hmm. five or season six. Mm-hmm. And there she was playing like a 25-year-old. And that show ended in 2012.
Oh, wow.
And here she's playing a 25-year-old.
Yeah,
I'm not going to call her out for her age, but Felicia Day's been paying a 25-year-old for about 15 years. Right. So you do the math.
If you can. Sure. Love Felicia Day.
Yeah.
But we're introduced to Poppy Klein, a draconologist, a postgraduate fellow, and a field researcher.
And one of the missing break bill students from Josh's class.
Spring Break 2016.
Yeah.
She's a big fan of Josh Oberman, big Josh head.
Oh, yeah.
As we all are. So going back to Elliot's kind of neck of the woods, he gets a message. A message that's delivered from Princess through one of the Lorien guards. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they're talking about this marriage that needs consummation. Mm-hmm. And they realize that they need to give Margot and Fulmar a honeymoon.
Well, Elliot, yeah. So yes, Elliot, once he reads that letter,
that's what he
realizes he needs to go and kind of address and see what Princess has warned him of. So he comes up with this idea that the easiest way to get people to like be in the mood is to send them off on a honeymoon. And that'll be the way for him to get Margot to consummate the marriage.
Right.
And the Fairy Queen, not knowing anything of what honeymoons are, agrees.
Yeah, there we go. So we go back to, let's go back to Poppy real quick. We find out a little bit more about her story. She wrecked off of the coast of the Truth Waters. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, as fate would have it, conveniently enough, mm-hmm. she's got that key.
So I thought when she came in with that key and she was acting kind of squirrely, like mm-hmm. looking around and everything, and somebody else said this in the chat too, but I thought, I was like, oh, is she like, because she talked about how she was a dragonologist. I was like, oh, is she a dragon, like in the shape of a person?
Interesting.
Like, did she eat this Breakville student and take on the body? I was wrong, obviously. But for a second, I was like, huh.
That's, yeah.
What it's, if she's, a, that would be really cool.
I would buy it.
Could take over.
Sure.
Yeah. Fun thought.
So there's a moment and it's such perfect foreshadowing when they're sharing drinks mm-hmm. on the Munt Jack and she kind of half jokingly says that she is a person of questionable ethics, mm-hmm. which we later realize is not so much of a joke as it turns out.
Gets them plastered.
Right. And which it doesn't take much to do.
No.
We've seen this at this point in the series.
Yeah. Quentin's been in a threesome because he wasn't even really that drunk, which is kind of like sad from his emotion.
Well, and it's a combination of both. First of all, he's lightweight. Second of all, it doesn't even take much to get him to start kind of giving in.
Yep.
You know? So as we thank you, Nehemiah, for my tangents. I'm sure there will be more of those. Why did I completely?
It's hang okay. On. So we're here. So it's about Quentin.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
about Poppy getting the key into his hands.
Right.
Through alcohol.
There we go. There we go. So let's get into what this key actually does. Let's mm-hmm. start skipping around a little bit. Mm-hmm. This key, once you touch it to yeah. your bare skin, it manifests all of your anxieties and your fears and
your darkest thoughts.
Yes, exactly. All that dark stuff. And it creates what she describes as a depression monster.
Dude. So when she finally slipped the key into his hand, and I guess you have to grasp it. It can't just be in their hand. So when he grasped it, and it activated his monster, I was like, oh my God, this is like when I'm having a depressive episode, and you just go, I'm a failure. Nothing I do is right. But it's like nonstop.
right.
And there's nothing there to be like, no.
It's yeah.
Okay. So that was terrifying. I would probably be dead.
Seeing that, exactly.
Oh, a few hours.
Well, and the analogy there is so deep because they do say that different people are affected yeah. by it differently. Some people kind of off themselves right away when they come into contact with this key.
Poppy is so bubbly and kind mm-hmm. of like just go with the flow that she could hold on to it for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And she thought, I thought it was really interesting that a stranger thought Quentin was kind of, and I guess also because he was on a boat, was kind of just like this like really happy guy.
Right,
and
right. Like, that's just what boats do to him.
Yeah. It's like, but that's kind of also like in that particular group of people, Quentin is kind of like the happy, hopeful guy. So it was kind of nice to kind see that like, a stranger. Yeah. I mean, compared to everyone else.
Certainly compared to, like, Penny, yeah. compared to kind of...
I mean, I think Penny would be dead within, like, minutes.
Uh-huh.
Katie would be dead the second she touched it. Julia would be dead within the hour. Alice
Do
would be
you
dead
think?
Within about 2 or 3 hours.
Really?
Elliot would be dead within a day or two, and then Margaret would live for at least a month.
Interesting. Okay.
That's just my guess.
I can take that for sure.
Yeah.
So it creates these monsters and the next person you pass it off to another person by making them touch the key,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like It Follows? Was that kind of like what was happening with It Follows? I don't know. Me neither. I'm just going off of what I heard people say. Mm. Heard it was good. Tell us in the chat, guys. Yeah, what do you think about It Follows? Great horror film came out a couple years ago. So we see this vision of Quentin,
yes.
and he starts the way he describes it later. He starts from the outside,
yeah.
Just starts talking about his face and about
stuff.
His hair, exactly the petty stuff.
That moment, he's like, "Oh, you had to. We were doing a thing. You had to go and make it gross.
Make it gross, right?
But
you can't run him off. You can't eat him off, drink him off, or jerk him off.
Mm-mm.
As it turns out,
yeah." No, yeah. So it starts. Well, what I thought was really interesting is this version of him also kind of reminded me of that like emotionless version of him. I was like, oh, that's.
Oh, I forgot
an about
that.
Way
that's right.
To kind of show depression. That it's just kind of just everything awful about you, basically with or what you think is awful about you.
Mm-hmm.
Not even really with judgment, but just stating it almost as if it's a fact, which
sure.
makes it even worse because it's harder to disagree with somebody who's just like, this is a fact.
Right, this is objectively true.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, but when he pulled that knife out, that not literal, but figurative knife of you're the reason why Julia was raped. I was
God. That was, a rough one for sure.
He's like, you're the reason that Alice died. I'm
right.
like, oh.
And she's never going to be the same.
Yeah.
She's never going to be the girl that she used to. Oh, boy. Oof. That was some rough stuff. But that's the thing. Like, nobody knows how to get to you better than you,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's your own worst enemy, literally.
Oh, and I forgot to say, and Josh would just probably hold on to it for years. He'd die an old man with that key.
Interesting. I would love to see Josh like face to face with depression Josh.
Yeah, and he's just like, whatever, man. Here, take a hit.
So we see Elliot, Margot, and Fomar in this coach,
mm-hmm.
and Elliot seems to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of imploring Margot to drink this wine,
and she's being pouty because she doesn't know like how drugging people works.
Right.
I'm like, girl, drink that wine.
Drink that wine, exactly.
Elliot is here for you.
Right. And so they drug Fomar, and this is where the teeth come in. basically.
Well, we're skipping that. We're jumping ahead because they have to discover the elf eggs first before they do the teeth.
No, that came after.
They do the teeth when they're already on their way back with the elf eggs.
What? Yes. Are you sure?
Yes, I've watched the episode twice.
What?
Yeah. So before they, after they drug him, that's when he takes Margot to where the fairies have laid all their mushrooms. All right. And that's when they have their conversation next to the tree.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
These notes.
Yep. Useless. That's the last shot of Margot and Elliot this episode is her being like, is Elliot talking about the teeth. So we'll get there.
Got it. Teeth were later. Mm-hmm. My bad, y'all. Once again, a little bit loopy. Bear with me. All right. Let's see here. This is where they're talking about just the general kind of poisoning that's happening in the Northern Orchards.
Yeah, so they go north and it's warm and dewy and they're like, why are they so obsessed with moisture?
Right. Well, before that, because I love this sort of, this almost kind of meta observation by Elliot, the fact that they were just kind of raging mega bitches before and now they have depth and character and they can't stand it.
I know.
They can't stand being three-dimensional.
It's kind of great, though. It's kind of great just to see their progression. I think out of everyone, Elliot and Margot have had the most progression because they've been forced into situations where they've had to do the most.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and exactly. And I think...
And Alice.
It's also sort of on a curve for them because they started as the most one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, characters like Alice and Julia sort of started with a certain amount of depth.
Yeah.
Whereas like Elliot and Margot started as like, we're the mean kids. And that's it. And then it just kind of grew and grew and grew from there.
Though they had their moments in season one, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about like right when we first saw them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's not much to these people, really.
No, yeah.
But it's been an awesome, awesome arc so far. What else?
We get to the toad people. I mean, the mushrooms.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. They're sort of...
Yeah.
At first, they suspect that they're terraforming Fillory. They're making everything so steamy and so moist. And that's why...
And they're turning basically everything into fairyland.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why that fairy queen is always in that goddamn tub.
Because it's going to dry out.
I legitimately never thought that there was going to actually be a reason for that.
It's like the faculty.
Oh my gosh, the faculty.
Everyone had to like another be in showers.
Josh Hartnett film.
And drinking water.
It's Josh Hartnett night on The Magician's
Wait, when else did we talk about Josh Hartnett?
The 30 Days of Night.
Night. 30 Days of Night. Yeah. I forgot that.
Yep. Amazing.
Yeah.
Who else was in the faculty?
There were a lot of people. Usher was in there.
Was Usher in it?
Not Elliot. Elijah Wood was in there.
Mm-hmm. Who was it? Clea Duvall was in it. Oh, Fonka
Johnson.
Oh, man, that's right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Interesting. It's good stuff.
Fun little fact. If you don't know about that, that's a bunch of aliens that take over via, like, kind of body snatchers, and they have to stay moisturized. That's what the Fairy Queen means.
Robert Patrick was in that movie, wasn't he? The Terminator?
Yes,
T-1000?
He was.
Oh, boy. All right. Anyway, go watch The Faculty, guys, after you finish this, of course. Back on the Munjack, Benedict saves Quentin, mm-hmm. basically, kind of like mm-hmm. talks him off the ledge.
Wait, sorry, before we go back.
Yes.
I just want to go back. Yes. I just want to talk about how when she pulled that mushroom out of the ground and you saw the egg,
mm-hmm.
I immediately thought of Toad from Mario Brothers.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that'd be so awesome if like the little fairy kids are just like Toad. Like they just look like Toad.
Well, it definitely have,
like, you know, that's his head. Fun fact.
It definitely reminded me of Mario 2, Super Mario Brothers 2, where you sort of like... A lot of the system is based on uprooting vegetables and throwing them around.
Oh, I missed that.
Mario 2 was weird, guys.
Mario 2 was great.
Go research Mario 2. There's a long story behind why that was so weird.
Sorry, we're a little tired.
Yeah, exactly.
Random 90s stuff. So the Munjack and Benedict and...
So Benedict kind of talks Q off of the...
The ledge.
Off of the ledge.
Yep.
I feel so bad for him when he talks about... How he's been kind of trained to deal with his emotions.
You just keep all your emotions in.
Just bottle them up and turn them into maps.
You don't know how many of my guy friends I've had that conversation with of being like, you can talk about things. And I'm like, I was just always raised to keep everything in. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, boy.
therapy.
Achy, achy.
It's a thing.
Right. So Quentin kind of implores Benedict to tie him to the mast and not to untie him no matter what he says, which of course that's going to come back.
Going to bite you in the butt whenever you say no matter what.
Right. It always reminds me of Fight Club. That they use common, almost the exact same device in Fight Club. Mm-hmm. So to keep him from doing harm to himself, from letting himself succumb to this depression monster. Mm-hmm. And I love that visual of the depression monster just like sitting there, just like staring up at him.
And you're like, oh, God.
Just like, I can still torture you from here.
I'm still going to get you.
Even if you can't kill yourself. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like, oh, my God, The Odyssey, where it's like he has his men tie him up.
Uh-huh.
And so he can't go through the siren call.
There you go.
Fun little Greek mythology.
Look at that.
We're just all in Greek mythology with the magicians.
Yeah. Just covering all the bases.
Let's just keep going. All these references.
but we go back to Alice kind of post, was this after they had kind of successfully done the transfer?
Yeah. So they do the transfer, they get the tail and it works. And she makes
that little glass unicorn that we saw in season one.
And then she goes and she fixes Dean Fogg's glasses so he can at least see the shape of things.
Right.
And gives a little dig about, this little, shitty looking speck at least has shape to it or something.
Right, 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 right.
Just to be, shitty because Alice is kind of shitty now.
Yeah, she really is, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's not really.
She's got a kindness to her, but she also is kind of like
pretty
blunt.
Still.
Yeah.
A little bit of not necessarily the Niffin, but I think the Niffin made her a little bit darker. What else? We've got Quentin tied to the mast, which of course is when he realizes that Poppy is after that key.
Well, no. Poppy comes to just kind of be like, "I could take it off your hands for a bit if you need a break." Poppy, her name is fucking Poppy, so obviously she's like a happy-go-lucky person.
Real quick, now that you mentioned that, before we move on, just indulge me in one little tangent. Have you heard of I'm Poppy?
Mm-mm.
I'm Poppy is, guys, go on YouTube, look up I'm Poppy. It's this weird, like, performance art sort of character. Bear in mind, this has nothing to do with anything. I'm very sorry. But it's this woman, and it's almost like alien like and cult like, and she makes these videos of just her just saying the weirdest things, and it's absolutely terrifying.
Wow!
But that has nothing to do with anything. But you saying her name is Poppy,
that's a different,
made me realize
it's a different type of Poppy.
It's weird stuff. It's super weird stuff. Please, someone in the chat, please tell me some of you are familiar with it. I'm Poppy. It's the weirdest stuff. Thank you.
YouTube right now, apparently. Yeah.
It's so weird. It's very, very creepy. Anyway,
poppies are opiates, pretty but dangerous.
Moving on. Oh, that's right. There you go.
It's a beautiful flower.
It all comes back around full circle. So she takes the key that creates the doors, because
Quentin has a huge mouth,
right?
And it like gives her a reason to want it. It's like, Quentin, you need this key, obviously.
Uh-huh.
You need this boat, obviously.
Right.
So don't tell this person who's already manipulated you once that, well, the keys can be used for good. Like, they can create portals and stuff, keyholes and stuff. And she's like, okay, thanks, and bye. What I was curious about was how he was, I guess she didn't touch the key because he was still able to see his, like, his depression monster even when she grabbed the key and left.
But she grabbed the other key, the key that creates door holes, right?
No.
Didn't she?
No, because that stays with, I believe that stays with Elliot. She grabbed because the reason why she grabbed the depression monster key is because when Benedict got it from her, he took on the depression monster. So I assume when she took it, she just like had something covering it so she wasn't touching it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Quentin was still seeing it. I was just kind of confused at that point. But yeah.
Because
then once Benedict got it, it disappeared for Quentin.
Interesting. All right. I believe you.
Yeah.
What else? So now let's get into Toad teeth kind of territory. Okay. A different kind of Toad this time, not the Mario Toad.
Yeah,
actual Toads.
Yes. And let you see. You know what? They were thinking the same thing I was thinking.
There you go.
Toads, mushrooms.
Exactly. Toad. Exactly.
We're on the same page. I'll ask Josh about it next week.
Right, exactly.
Like, you correct, Adrian.
So once Fomar has been drugged, they kind of talk him into thinking that those teeth that Margot was telling him about earlier have kind of been put to work
and
put to use.
He got a little bite on his on his little wiener.
Exactly.
Just gonna use all the different other names of penis. No, yeah. So
he did. Going back real quick to the hedge fund guy, he did say that he had convinced Dean Fogg that he had a magic Johnson.
Yes.
And then the word prick was censored out of the sci-fi broadcast.
It was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You can say fuck.
But you can't say prick.
Can't say prick.
Hmm.
It's very, very telling. Very telling.
You see where people's brains go. No, yeah. So, and they didn't, did they censor penis? Nah.
What's that?
But they didn't censor penis.
No. Just prick.
Interesting.
If my mouth reading skills are correct.
Yeah.
In the chat, I guess.
No, just to go back to Elliot and Margot.
Yes.
It was just that whole banter where Elliot's like, I like to watch.
Right.
And Margot's just like, oh, you want to go again? And like bites at him. I was like, these two, they're too much. Too much.
So
scarred
good.
This poor boy forever.
Oh, so good.
Even though he's a jerk and he kills and he's like, you know.
Yes, yes.
A horrible human being.
Little Joffrey ass motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of jump back a little bit. Q sends Benedict after Poppy. He comes back, says that he's a terrible failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like he might have let her get away.
Mm. But he was crying too hard. And
we find out he has that key.
Oh.
And we know, poor guy.
Bottles all of his emotions up.
Bottles all of his emotions up, puts him into his map-making work.
Yeah, and so he's gone within minutes.
Over the side of the boat, into the abyss.
Yep.
Where he is promptly snapped up by a dragon.
So I realize this is not the same dragon that we saw in the underworld.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sure.
But I immediately was like, "But are all dragons female? Is that
sure? Interesting.
Because that's interesting.
It could be.
If they are.
They look very, very similar.
They could be, but no. I'm not saying that they're same. I think they're different.
No.
They sounded different.
Right. But
I was just kind of going like, "Huh. I wonder if they're all female. I wonder if that'll be answered.
Right. Sure.
Just a question to raise.
Interesting. There you go. So, yeah, jumping back to Julia.
Oh, before we get back to Julia, there is that moment between, because Julia is kind of like the end of the episode, but like that moment between Quentin and Poppy where they talk about, she's like, well, dragons don't ship because dragons are portals. They're gatekeepers to portals, and then they're also portals, which means that they're headed back to the underworld.
Oh, yeah.
Which I kind of enjoyed. I thought the underworld was really interesting.
Shrinking. We've seen two dragons in this show.
We didn't say they all
looked
the same.
And they did. I did. I said they looked similar. Yes.
Oh, I know they look different. I believe the one who leads to the underground was darker in complexion.
There you go. Okay.
And had red eyes.
That's fair.
See there?
To be fair, it has been a long time since I saw that last dragon, so I could just be pulling this out of my ass.
I saw it probably like a few weeks ago because I watched it go to sleep.
Did you?
I watch a magician sometimes when I have insomnia.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
So, you know, not because it's boring, but just because I've seen it a lot. So
sure.
Yeah.
Familiar stuff.
Yep.
So let's go back to Julia's kind of neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Penny is sort of done with everything. Hyman.
Okay.
I forgot we saw the return of Hyman, by the
briefly,
way.
Yeah.
Hyman Cooper.
When he was like, yeah, they were definitely going to kill themselves.
Right. And Hyman kind of tells him, like, look, just find a new show to watch. You don't got to watch these guys. Let's find a new show.
I hate Moody Penny.
Oh, sure.
I don't really know you that well anyway, Penny. I hate
that
Penny.
That's a really good Arjun.
I hate that Penny.
That's a good Arjun.
Because Arjun's never going to listen to it. So hopefully, he'll never be like, Adrian, I can call you out on your BS.
I like that.
No, like, I didn't really understand the motivation for that, you know, because I thought...
For him just kind of getting fed up?
Yeah, because I feel like it hadn't been that long since they were trying to figure out what to do with him. They're also trying to figure out what to do with the quest. And I know it's not in his nature to just ask for help when he needs it, even though he offers all the help he possibly can, which is why he got cancer, which is why he did.
Right.
So... I kind of just like, ugh, okay, do we really have to have this scene? But I did appreciate, I didn't really appreciate anything he said to Julia. I thought it was just all just kind of like out of the blue and rude.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it did lead us to having that scene between Julia and Reynard.
Right.
When she's
right.
sitting in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny because I just saw the actor who plays Reynard on Scandal. He's recurring on there as
Mackenzie
well.
Mackenzie Astin.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
As a news anchor. And mm-hmm. I was like, I can't look at you the same.
No. Yeah, you don't got those weird yellow eyes.
I'll never look at you as like wholesome ever again. Even when you're playing Richard, I'm like, you're still Reynard. But yeah, it was nice to kind of see that. It's nice to see how they're handling PTSD with Julia.
Sure.
I hope they go into a little bit more. They kind of just like touch the surface of it. And I'm also just really happy that they didn't just completely, once she made the deal with Persephone,
yes.
she didn't just, and she's over the whole Reynard thing. And so no big deal.
Everything is gravy fine. Now.
Because that's what happens a lot when shows deal with rape. The topic of rape, they kind of just go, okay, and now we're done with this and we're moving on.
Right,
and maybe it'll come up 5 years from now when they have to tell it to someone else, you know, if the show lasts that long. So it's nice to see them go through this whole progression of how she's going to deal with that PTSD.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so when we do see that dream sequence of her and Reynard in the park, he tells her that story of when she... What was it? When she broke a bone.
Yeah, when she was right? 12 years old yeah. and how the bone healed within 6 weeks, but she's never gotten over her fear of heights.
Right, exactly. And he says, he's not the bone, he's the terror.
Yeah.
And that's a wild, wild analogy.
Yeah. Terrifying.
That's rough. But that's the thing. Yeah, that kind of goes along with that sort of PTSD. Like,
and it almost made me think, even though I know I'm wrong, I have to be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, that it wasn't Persephone who visited Julia in the diner, that it was Reynard, and Reynard just like gave her a piece of his magic just to torture her.
Oh, jeez, right?
How horrible would that be?
Oh my god, absolutely, yeah,
that'd be really horrible.
Yeah. So finally, Alice's sort of solution for Penny is to make him a new body to transfer his astral projected self into.
Which I didn't realize yet that Mayakovsky had made her body.
Right. Yeah.
Because the way it seemed at the end of season two was that she came back as a Niffin, merged with her shade, and then had that Terminator moment where she's like naked on the ground.
Right, right, right. Like,
I didn't realize that there was a body in there. Maybe I didn't.
That's true. No, that's. I think I probably thought the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she sets out to performing an osseous confervium to kind of manipulate these bones. And before we know it, Alice is convulsing on the ground, foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
It's good stuff all around.
She can't handle that god magic, y'all.
Right?
If it wasn't meant for you, it wasn't meant for you.
And then just what do you call it? The refrain of the I Will Survive by the Billy Big Mouth.
The Billy Big Mouth fish Penny like getting in there. And that's how the show, like, I was like, dang, did they just kill Alice again?
Right there,
I know they didn't.
Right.
Because she was dead all of last season.
Right, exactly.
Let's not forget.
In as much as you can be dead in this show, really.
And I guess, except for season one, or maybe, there's been someone dead for majority of the season.
Yeah.
For the past two seasons.
Yeah.
Penny's been dead as of now. You will have been dead for probably majority of the season.
Right, that's true. Yeah. Absolutely. Death is... It's everywhere in the show, and it's not really, it's not so permanent.
People are only half there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. There's only been a few people that we've seen put an end to definitively.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the episode.
Yeah.
That's episode six. That's Do You Like Teeth? So with that said, we've got about maybe 8.5 minutes. Let's get into some predictions.
Yeah.
And now... You're after Buzz TV.
It's Alice like Kenny from South Park. I hope not.
That's exactly right.
I want a show to just do that and never ever address the fact that they've like turned one of their characters into Kenny.
Right.
That would just be really funny.
Constantly dying.
Yep. That was kind of like, I'm blanking her name. The black chick from Vampire Diaries, Bonnie.
Oh,
Bonnie
sure.
was the Kenny of Vampire Diaries because she's dead like every season.
God, that's absolutely right.
Yep.
That was another show where death just was not really the end until it was.
Oh, you're right. I think it's a different type of god magic. I don't think it's something because Julia was also able to handle that god magic before. And we found out later why. But at the same time, I think it was more so that particular god magic was meant only for Julia. Just responding to something in the chat from Tizma. Yeah,
sure.
So that's why I think maybe it's not operating correctly in her body.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here, prediction-wise? What do
you think's happening? Well, we now know that Margot and Elliot have those elf eggs held hostage.
Yes.
I don't know if they have enough eggs for the elf queen to care.
Man, that's the thing. That's exactly what I thought, yeah. Because Margot grabbed an armful, maybe like four or five.
Yeah,
but like, that's not enough leverage to use against the fairy queen.
We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to kill Alice again. I would just be really surprised if they went in that direction.
Sure.
I think
how long do we think she's going to be kind of quote-unquote out of commission then? Like, in whatever state this episode left her.
Probably not too long. Maybe an episode more.
Ibi the Igbo, that's a very, very interesting theory. Penny possesses Alice's body.
I don't think he could do that because it's just
You don't think so?
Because, well, even Hyman mentioned how it's really tough to possess.
Well, and even, yeah, even him trying to take over the Margolem
was hard. So
that's true.
And he might be able to share. Like, he might be able to pull an All of Me. That's a movie with Steve Martin. And, sure. Oh my God, what's her face from Grace and Frankie?
Lily Tomlin?
And Lily Tomlin.
Oh boy.
Where Lily Tomlin's a ghost who possesses Steve Martin and they share his body.
Interesting.
That would be cool. If they want to do that, I just gave you that. It's yours.
TM.
I know you've already shot the entire season. So that'd be cool if they pulled an All of Me.
Like, sure.
Maybe, I think Penny and Quentin would be fun. Because that would just be a nightmare for both of them.
Oh, my God. If Penny and Quentin could Freaky Friday.
Yes.
And like, we could get that just as like a bottle episode one day.
That'd be great.
I'd be into that for sure.
Yeah. And then outside of that, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah.
I think, we'll see how Quentin gets the key and we'll see, obviously Poppy's going to be around. So mm-hmm. We saw that from the... They have some making out time from the preview. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Getting it on with Felicia Duck.
Good stuff. I mean,
what are your predictions?
There's worse. Well, God, I always get so excited about predictions that I never have any. I think the Fairy Queen is going to be unfazed by the amount of leverage that they have, mm-hmm. but she's going to be sort of like set off. By the fact that they've done this. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is going to make things worse in a big way mm-hmm. for Margot and Elliot. The fact that they would kind of dare to do this.
Yeah.
I think it's going to make it worse for them before it gets better. I think... I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm predicting it, but I hope we get more Hyman.
That'd
just
be cool.
More Hyman.
More Hyman, please.
More Hyman, guys.
In your life.
But that's it. Anyway, I got you. I try to pronounce names as correctly as I can.
And then also there was something I just want to kind of address, mm-hmm. I don't know if you have time to watch other magicians shows or podcasts. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't, mm-hmm. but all the thoughts and insights we have here are purely our own.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of similarities to other shows are actually coincidental because mm-hmm. great minds think alike. And I don't listen to other magicians' podcasts.
Are there other magicians?
I guess there are. One, that there were. And two, I'm self-absorbed and I only listen to hers.
There you go. So. Is someone saying...
It was implied that I guess somebody thought that we were taking our ideas from a different podcast. And I was like, that's amazing because we shoot this right after the show airs.
Immediately after the show airs.
So we don't actually have time to... go and listen to another podcast and then come out
look,
and do this.
Look, y'all, if you're running another magician show, we're all friends here.
Yeah.
We're all just coming up with our own conjecture
off
the top
fans.
Of our head.
Mm-hmm.
But don't come for this throne. We got this.
So that's
stealing
it.
Shit.
Yes.
But that's it, guys. That's about it. That's season three. That's episode six. That's Do You Like Teeth? Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're joining us in the chat, you guys are so cool. This is one of my favorite parts of every week of every episode is seeing what you guys have to say and how you contribute to the conversation because it is truly a dialogue. So remember, if you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment, talk to us. We want to talk to you. If you're on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate 5 stars if you're nasty. Mm-hmm. Find us on social media. Speaking of which, Adrian, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. You can also interact with me on Wolfenstein 2. You can play as my body temporarily in Star Wars Battlefront.
That is wild. Have fun with that.
And then you can catch me on the Unproduced Table Read on Popcorn Talk on Friday mornings.
There you go. Steve, where can they find you? Steve.
Working at AfterBuzz.
Always. He works so hard, guys. He works his ass off here. A lot of times y'all don't see what he does in between shows, but it is a hell of a lot. So give Steve props. He's one of my absolute favorite producers working here. And for me, you guys can find me on all forms of social media, primarily Twitter, Instagram, but also the PlayStation Network. If y'all play Overwatch, play some Overwatch with me. I've been playing the hell out of the Lunar New Year event. I'm at Ty Matthews PMA on all of those avenues. And if you're a wrestling fan, you can check me out on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, my alter ego, on Saturdays, 4 p.m., or you can check those local listings, as they say. But next week, as we said, we very well may have Joshua Butler in front of the show, director of several episodes, including next week's episode, episode 7. But we'll be right back here, same time, same channel, talking about episode 7. But guys, until then, peace!
Bye. Sorry, I'm yawning.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.